We have a quorum present who will call us to order and ask us to stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. A couple of quick things under my report. I appreciate the overachievers in the room who already filled this form out, but it was really intended as a draft. We made some pretty significant changes in the form itself on committee preferences, and I just wanted to get input from the board if I had missed any committees or if it was a confusing form to fill out. It must not be the case because there were a couple folks who already filled them out. So, but if you would take a look at that, and if you have any suggestions for how to improve that, I would appreciate hearing them. This officially isn't going to happen, obviously, until April, but I wanted trying to take care of some housekeeping things before the April elections. So forward your comments, suggestions for improvement to me, if you would, please. Maybe I should stop and see if anybody has any questions about that. I don't know if you remember what it looked like before, but it was a very difficult form to fill out, I found. It was like everything was in capital letters. It was scrunched together. It was not very easy, not very user-friendly. So it was like an IRS form, yes. Are there any supervisor conference reports? Bev Mack.
Actually, this is a report. My last meeting at the La Crosse Municipal Transit Utility Board was last Monday. We received the 2011 annual report, and I thought you might be interested in some of the things that are on this report. In 2011, the La Crosse MTU provided 1,176,600 rides on its fixed service routes and 78,754 additional rides on its specialized services for individuals with disabilities. This was the highest ridership in 29 years. The new routes implemented in 2010, along with the opening of the Grand River Station, were factors in the ridership increase. 36% of the passengers use the bus to get to work. Another 32% use it to get to school and other educational opportunities. 53% of the individuals who use the fixed route bus don't have access to a car to make the trips. Without public transportation, they wouldn't have the ability to access jobs or services. Another characteristic of MTU ridership is that 47% are choice riders. They choose to take the bus even though they have a car because they find it to be convenient, affordable, and environmentally friendly. A program started in 2007 to have the first Monday of each month be Free Fare Day has become very popular. So I recommend that all of us go do that if we don't ride a bus regularly. First Monday of the month. It says on average, ridership increases that day by 54%. Average ridership on free days in 2011 was 4,527 compared to an average of 2,944 on normal Mondays. One thing, too, about bikes. The La Crosse MTU installed bike racks on buses in 1999. They were the first transit system in the state to offer this program. Today, almost every other transit system offers bike racks on their buses to provide riders with this option. It's estimated that the annual bike loadings are at over 3,000 annually. We're also, the MTU is involved in sustainability and going green, and here are a few examples. They've got a new hybrid bus put into service and has been. acquired two hybrid Toyota Prius sedans for support vehicles. And perhaps you know that there's a green roof on top of the Grand River Station that helps reduce stormwater runoff, and it lessens the burden of our stormwater system in downtown. And lately, a new larger bus shelter at the south side of Walmart on Mormon Cooley Road is lit with solar-powered lighting, and apparently it's very good. It's very bright at night. At our last meeting Monday, we moved that there be a citywide study to determine the infrastructure costs of making a change to compressed natural gas for the next three buses that are going to need to be used to replace some of the older buses. And this study would include architectural and engineering professionals experienced with alternative fuels to make a technical analysis of existing facilities and the cost to meet building codes before investing in new vehicles that operate on compressed natural gas. And then I guess I wanted to say that the awards, you might have read about this in the paper, but the Grand River Station was awarded in 2011. It was awarded the 2011 Public Works Project of the Year by the American Public Works Association, Wisconsin chapter. The award recognizes the partnership between the city, consultant, architect, engineer, and the contractor working together, completing public works projects. The award was presented to Dale Hexum at the Public Works Association Spring Conference in Racine, Wisconsin. Thanks.
Thank you, Supervisor Mock, and thank you also for your service as the county representative to the MTU board for how many years? 4 years. So thank you for that. We appreciate it very much. Supervisor Flood.
Thank you. On Friday, February 17th, I attended a Judiciary and Public Safety Steering Committee meeting at the Wisconsin Counties Association. Presenters were from the Department of Justice, and they didn't tell me anything we didn't already know here. So I just wanted to say I'd really like to encourage everyone on this board to think about serving on committees at the Wisconsin Counties Association, and I will no longer be on the Judiciary Committee, so there'll be an opening there, and that's pretty interesting. And I think the more people this committee sends to the Wisconsin Counties Association committees, the more power you will have at the state level. So just think about it. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you also, Supervisor Flood, for your service on that committee for WCA. Any other conference reports? No other conference reports? If not, then Gary, Deputy Administrator's report, please.
Okay, I'll read the proclamation for March 2012, which is the Human Services and Family Court Month. Whereas staff who work in Human Services Department and Family Court of the county literally touch thousands of lives every day who are in need of temporary or long-term assistance to meet their basic needs or to adjust to transitions in their families. And whereas citizens who rely on county human services and family court programs range in age from pre-birth to over 100 years of age, and whereas county human services programs are designed to protect our most vulnerable populations, which include children, adults, and children with disabilities, the aging, and people dealing with mental illness. And whereas to serve and to help individuals in need, county human service professionals routinely enter homes and travel to other locations in the community, at times facing volatile situations and safety risks. And whereas family court and mediation and family court services strive to maintain the dignity, safety, and security of families going through difficult transitions. And whereas the individuals and the entire community benefit from the investment in lives that human services and family court professionals make every day. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of March 2012 as Human Services and Family Court Month, and urges all citizens to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of human services and family court staff.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson to approve the proclamation, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved unanimously. Thank you, Gary. Are you doing anything else, or am I? Okay. So next we have, I believe Hank is coming up with our friends from Excel on a special presentation.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I bring you good news from the land of garbage. And there's a lot of good news that I wanted to share with you on this occasion. If I could have our presentation up. The Solid Waste Department is going to bring two things before you tonight. One is what we've been doing, working with a partnership with Excel on the recovery of some ferrous and non-ferrous materials. And we have a little status report also on gas energy for you. So if I could have the next slide, please. I want to talk about, hit it one more time, please. I want to talk about ferrous recovery and non-ferrous recovery. You know that since 2007, we've been working with Excel to recover tin cans and steel, et cetera, that's in your waste. And if you remember back in 2010, we came to the county board and asked your permission to negotiate with Excel a contract amendment so that we could also extract aluminum. And that started in 2011, and so that's why we're here tonight. Next slide, please. What happened in 2011 then? Well, we recovered 1,265 tons of ferrous material. That's a lot. It's about 1.7% of the waste. From an aluminum standpoint, we recovered 227 tons of aluminum, which is 0.3%. Now, that sounds like a lot, but in most communities that have waste to energy, this is pretty common that you see this in there. Next slide. The first question you're probably thinking is something wrong with our recycling programs? And Dan Ferries is probably thinking, my gosh, my ad hoc committee has got a concern here. There's nothing wrong with our recycling programs. This type of metal and this type of aluminum, it's common to get this in the trash. And there's a few Mountain Dew cans and a few other things, but when you have 50 and 60,000 people, it adds up. So next slide. There isn't anything wrong with our recycling program, but we are pulling that material out because we have a partnership with Excel. In other communities that do not have waste energy, this is going into the landfills, and this tonnage is being lost. Okay, it's being buried. Next slide. So what did we budget in revenue for 2012? Well, we budgeted to be around $25,000 worth of shared revenues from Excel in the ferrous. We also we received the approval to be involved with the aluminum late in 2010. So while we didn't have anything in our budget, we expected to get around $20,000 in revenue. So at this point, I'd like to call up two people. One, I'd like Mr. Spiker, Chair of the Public Works and Infrastructure, if you would come up here, please, for a second. And Mark, if I could get you to come up. I'm going to tantalize you, and I'm not going to tell you, what did you do with the revenue? So I'm going to ask Mark to take the first check from Excel to the Solid Waste Department and present it to Chuck. This is the amount of money we received for the ferrous for 2012, $108,825. That's excellent. So,
it is a paper check, though, and we know Supervisor Spiker prefers paper checks.
So if we could have the second check for the aluminum. And remember, we projected maybe we would get $20,000. $30,500. So if I could go to the next slide then. Why did we exceed revenues? Hank did a bad job estimating on the budget. No, that wasn't the case. We had good pricing on commodities. On a worldwide basis right now, steel and aluminum is all-time high prices. That really benefits us. It benefits Excel. It benefits our community that we're pulling this material out. But an important thing happened in 2011. Excel took the initiative, and Mark, with his team, worked on renegotiating the prices that this material was being sold, both the ferrous and the aluminum. And as a result of that, they achieved significantly higher prices than we were seeing. And so they benefited La Crosse County, Solid Waste Department in this community, by taking that action. That was very good of them. The other thing is that Excel worked very expeditiously. And when we received approval from County Board to move ahead with the system, Excel was poised and ready, ordered equipment, and very quickly got it online so that we could recover as much aluminum as possible in 2011 to take advantage of doing this. So that's why we exceeded revenues. I hope markets continue. I hope we'll be able to adjust our budget upwards in future years. Next slide. What does this mean to our community? Next slide. It means that there's a strong demonstration here that the Excel La Crosse County partnership is proactive, it's collaborative, and it's mutually beneficial. This is just one example of many projects we've worked with them that this has occurred on. Next slide. Revenues were exceeded, as we showed. This is good news. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, what's Hank going to do with all that money? That money is going to defray future increases. You know, we have a lot of increasing costs in these economies. It's the Solid Waste Department's goal to prevent prices from increasing in the future. So as we make those monies, they go into our accounts and our reserve funds, and we hold on to them so that we can don't have to pass on future price increases to our customers. So it benefits the community. Next slide. Very important point here. Our community is more sustainable since we have conserved mineral resources. That's one of the natural steps, one of the four natural steps, conserve mineral resources. How much resource did we conserve? Remember I told you it was 227 tons of aluminum? Look at that poster over there. If Nick measured this room and he sat and he calculated out, you know, if you converted that into individual cans and you filled this room, you'd fill this room 16 times with those aluminum cans. Now, Nick assumed that none of the cans would be dented, crushed, or compacted, and that we would neatly stack them. That isn't the way they are in trash. But think of this room. 16 times in 1 year filled, we saved that from going to a landfill. We conserved that mineral resource. Next slide. It's also a demonstration that, you know, we're only one of two communities in Wisconsin that have waste energy, and it's an important part of our system. The original goals established by the county board back in the mid-1980s regarding waste to energy reaffirmed in the early 2000s why we wanted to have waste to energy as part of our integrated solid waste system have been again verified in what we're seeing today, that this is an important part of our solid waste system. Next slide. The last thing goes without saying. So many times you approve things and you probably sit there and wonder, what was the result of that? Well, I'm here to thank you on behalf of the Solid Waste Department for supporting our efforts to conserve these resources, to enter into this agreement with Excel. And we appreciate the support you gave us on this. And in return, the good news is we were highly successful on this project. So thank you. Be happy to answer any questions on this.
Any questions for Hank? Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hank, did the county invest any money in the capital equipment, or is that 100% Excel Energy's investment in the capital equipment to recover the ferrous and non-ferrous materials?
We had a choice, and we chose not to invest any money with this. As a result, we get a lower payback rate from them. On the ferrous, though, we chose to invest in it, and so we're getting a higher payback rate on that.
Okay. Not that you need to review all the percentages and whatnot, but I'm assuming then that Xcel Energy, it's a win-win because they're receiving revenue from the investment that they made, and we're receiving revenue from the investment that we made, more on the ferrous versus the non-ferrous as a percent.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Friedland.
Thank you. Tongue-in-cheek question, partly, anyway. If we can do this and get the material out and make this kind of profit for the county, why don't we eliminate the middleman and not promote recycling programs or give up our own? Wouldn't it be more efficient just to let the machine take it all out?
That's a good question. And it seems that way on the surface, but it is not. If you ask Mark, he'll tell you that the aluminum, once it goes through the system, is dirty. And you have to put more effort into the recycling than to get that material reused. The hierarchy of solid waste management is to reuse, to recover, to recycle before you do anything else. And so recycling is ahead of waste energy, landfilling, or any of these other processes. We strongly supported that with you when the city of La Crosse was talking about adding plastics. We continued to support that. The real advantage our community has is that if we had just the recycling programs in place, that 1,400 tons of material would have found its way in the trash and would have been buried in a landfill. In our community, because of this system, we were able to pull it out and recover it.
Is that it for you, Supervisor Friedland? That he sufficiently accomplished what you wanted us to hear? Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Hank, I think it's also important. I just heard that now we are taking e-waste free of charge out at the landfill, correct?
Yes.
And that's a new change, correct?
It's a new change that we're taking it free of charge, but we've been actually taking it before it was mandated as a state law banning it from landfills, yes.
Yeah, but I think that people should know it's now free of charge because that obviously makes it much more, and I compliment you guys on catching up with Best Buy and all those, and I assume that that's going to be a real asset to the community.
Yep.
And I thought maybe if you put a big video sign out there so everyone would know that we're doing that now, that would help.
You're going to see in the next month's report to the Public Works Infrastructure Committee that taking it free of charge in the advertising has been highly successful, and it has stimulated the incoming waste. We make money on that. The HHM facility is making money on that, which is good because it's offsetting some areas where we're not making some money. So excellent. Yep.
Any other questions? Is that it for you, Hank?
No, I've got the next
on this
on
topic.
This subject,
you're ready to
yes.
move into. I thought it was a nice segue to the general operations and update from solid waste.
Okay, if I could have the next slide, just a quick status report to you on the gas to energy project with Gunderson Lutheran. If I could have the next slide, we're online. We're running. We're producing gas, electricity. Energy, we're going to be sending them a bill for March, and we're making money. The system's working. It's a very complicated system, has a lot of electronics and control pieces. You have a partner that you got to work with, and they got to get their system up, and you got to coordinate with them. I took that picture this morning, and I missed it by just a few minutes. There was a nice white plume of steam that's coming out of there. I used to drive by the landfill and look for the flare and would see the flare. I now look across the road and I look for the white plume of steam, meaning that we're making money and they're getting energy. If I could have the next slide. The other thing is I can't wait to write up the bill and send it to them. This is significant. We're talking about 90 million BTUs per day that is being produced there, and this is going to be a great revenue source for the solid waste department. Next slide. Two people I got to circle, though. That's Jad and Paul in the solid waste department. That's Jad, that's Paul. These guys have worked tirelessly. And one of the things I was able to tell the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee tonight at their meeting is that last year, as we were putting this project together, and it was a little over $1.5 million worth of expenditures, we've had 25 change orders to this project. And JAD has managed all of them. I had to go to the Public Works Committee, and we put about $57,000 of money upside as contingency. Last year, I had to go to him and said, I need to access $10,000 for a change order. We don't give up when we get their permission. We don't stop and look for ways to save money. I was happy to tell that committee tonight we found some cost savings on the project. We didn't have to touch a dime of that money. We brought that project in 2011 on budget. And a lot of it was due to JAD's hard work. We put this system, it takes a while to bring it up to speed, bring it online with all the parts that are involved. JAD and Paul put this system online Friday, and it's run continuously since Friday. That's significant. JAD had to be out of town, and so Paul had to manage this system. This system is so sophisticated that Paul at home dials in on his computer, and all the displays of how that system is operating comes up. So he sits at home. He can see the methane, the heat. He can see alarms. He can see everything on how that system runs. You're going to want to take a tour of this system this year at some time and see how this is going. There's a third person on here we got to circle, Nick. Don't forget, he was the project manager that brought this project to construction. JAD and others took the project from construction to operation. So these guys did a super job. I asked JAD to come tonight. He's shy. He didn't want to get in front of you and take a bow. I'm going to make him do that when you come out for the open house, though. Next slide. Again, goes without saying, you know, the Public Works Infrastructure Committee, the County Board approved us in this venture getting into gas to energy. We want to thank you for supporting us. The good news is the system is now running. We'll be receiving revenue. I'll keep you updated on it. Thank you. The other important thing, as I said, 90 million BTUs per day. Think about sustainability. If we're producing electricity and heat over at Gunderson Lutheran, practically supplying 100% needs of that community, think of how much less coal we have to burn as a community for electric power at Gunderson Lutheran. Again, the two things out of both of these presentations that I leave you with, our community is more sustainable because of these projects. So, thank you for your support.
Thank you, Hank. Any questions or comments on this one? You're the only person I like to talk garbage with, Hank, so thanks for thanks very much. Next, the annual sustainability report. I'm going to start actually with Supervisor Pedretti.
Thank you. And thank you, Hank. It is wonderful to follow up behind you because this is exactly what this report is about. You know, everybody knows I'm a bona fide tree hugger. Everybody knows that. And sustainability is dear and near to my heart. But this is proof of why the county is into sustainability. It's more than just planting a tree or recycling. It's also about the money. And as county board supervisors, we're all aware of being sufficiently frugal with tax dollars. So thank you. Sustainability, like I said, is not just about planting trees and recycling. It's also about an economic analysis. It's using all three, economics, environment, and social impacts. It's called the triple bottom line, and Nick will talk about this. It's profit, planet, people. You see it on the front of the report. I can't stress enough. It's all three of those things, not just the money, but the money is the important part that we're going to probably highlight tonight. Over the past year and a half, we've had department heads at our Sustainable La Crosse Commission talking about what they're doing as departments, and it's been so exciting to hear the different things that are happening. Today you're going to hear about, you know, we'll use the word green or sustainable interchangeably. You're going to hear about purchasing that has saved us money, how the environments are working, like with IT and how they've saved money, how buildings are working, like the LEC and how we're saving money. And again, Hank's project there with solid waste and how we are saving money. So I think this is all very exciting. I do want to thank Jay Johnson. I realize she's not going to be on the county board after this month. I wanted to thank her publicly for getting this started. This was before I came on the county board. If it wasn't for Jay, I'm not sure we would be sitting in this position that we are. She had the foresight to get this started, and so I wanted to publicly appreciate Jay for her hard work on this. Along the way, Sustainable La Crosse Commission, we're starting to work on some policy papers. I presented one last month. We're working with the different departments and how we can keep getting some of these goals accomplished, but tonight we're going to hear from Nick about what goals we are hitting, what areas are very exciting to hear that we're hitting the sustainability portion. Sharon Hampson is, I unfortunately put vice chair, she's a co-member on the Sustainable La Crosse Commission. She and I would both be available to answer questions after the report, but it is with pleasure that we ask Nick to give a sustainability report.
Take it away, Nick.
Thank you. And by the way, I did win the Masters, just want to let you know. I wear this whenever I go out and do presentations. Everybody expects me to be green, you know, so that's a pretty good deal. And then I just want to reiterate something that Hank mentioned about the gas to energy project. Jad's the guy that made that happen. I pushed around a lot of paper when we started getting permits and things like that. But, you know, when it came to actually putting this thing together, Jad is the guy. And you definitely need to talk to him and thank him for this successful project. Oh, okay. Better? Maybe lean in a little. Another thing I like to do when I'm giving tours, I give a lot of tours like UWL and Viterbo and those kind of guys. We expect this project to bring in annually somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000 a year, almost enough to cover my salary. So, yeah, they get a big laugh out of that too. So I am here to rave about the great things that are happening in sustainability in La Crosse County. Most of the time, our Midwest ethic of humility is a characteristic to be celebrated, but too often this also gets in the way of hearing about the great work that people do. So tonight, I'm the cheerleader for only a few of the things going on that I'm sure all of you haven't heard about yet. First, a little bit about the report. Now, everybody should have a copy of this sitting in front of them. This is a collaborative effort that takes input from every department that's part of the strategic plan of sustainability. So thanks to each of these departments for getting me the information that's included in this. There again, more paper pushing. And some of the people that helped get that together are sitting in the back over here. Baseline information has been and is continuing to be gathered so as to give context to accomplishments in reducing energy consumption, et cetera. Several indicators that are being tracked include energy consumption, water use, fuel use, transportation issues, land use, waste disposal, and diversion. Now, one of the indicators that we use on the plan are the arrows that you see on the front of the plan here. You have the green arrow up or sideways for completed or completed but ongoing, yellow for in process, and red for not done or can't be done. Other indicators used for grading the success include the triple bottom line and the four goals of the natural step. The triple bottom line would include the measures of people, planet, and profit. And these are definitions by Wikipedia. People pertains to fair and beneficial business practices towards labor in the community region in which a corporation conducts its business. Planet or natural capital refers to sustainable environmental practices, and profit is the economic value created by the organization after deducting the cost of all inputs, including the cost of capital. Now, you see the triple bottom line indicators that we got here. I got my little happy dance guy here. And I got a dollar sign and just some leaves that cover each of the triple bottom line. Now, the four goals of the natural step are based on the ICA municipality resolutions that were passed by the city and the county. And they use the natural step as a guide. Number one is reduce the use of fossil fuels. Number two, conserve mineral resources. And you saw indicators of those with Hank's report. Number three, protect the ecology. Number four, treat people fairly. So those are also included in the report inside. So each task that each department has each of these indicators. Each of these measures is an indicator of the success of our strategic plan and plays an important part in the reporting of success of all of our stakeholders. Over 73% of the tasks listed within the report have been completed, are in process, or are considered completed but ongoing. So I'd say that's pretty good considering all the tasks that are included in here, and there's over 80 of them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through here page by page, but not item by item. I'm only going to cover a couple from each department, just to give you some highlights as far as some of the success that's going on. And we'll start with facilities. Number one up there, conduct energy audits of all county buildings and develop an action plan to increase efficiency and reduce energy costs. Now, Jim worked with Focus on Energy. We did some comparisons with other buildings throughout the state. And to just give you an indicator, the administrative services building is 3% more efficient than other buildings of its type around the state. The law enforcement center is 35% more efficient, and Hillview is 16% more efficient. Of course, there are indicators for some of our other buildings like Lakeview that don't fare so well, but it just goes to show that we've got work to do on some of the other buildings. Research ways to install photovoltaics, solar hot water, and other renewable products and processes. We put in two systems, two solar water systems, one on Lakeview and one on the Law Enforcement Center. We're going to reduce our natural gas use by 117,300,000 BTUs a year. So that'll be a nice accomplishment. Develop a centralized recycling program. That's near the bottom. Facilities installed another 19 recycling bins, including the one right outside the door here. So you have an opportunity to recycle all your plastic bottles and cans and reduce the amount of garbage that's going out of the county building. They also did an upgrade of the West Salem County Shop, a lighting upgrade. That's going to save us over $7,000 a year in lighting, just at that one shop. We got a 3.6-year payback with that. And then on the very bottom, consider adopting LEED standards for all new buildings and remodeling. We haven't gone to LEED certification, but we have gone to the idea of using LEED standards as an indicator and as a measure. And because of that, we're going to save $65,000 a year on the law enforcement center and energy use. So by planning ahead and building better, you know, being more sustainable, it's going to save us money in the long run. And purchasing. Review the county purchasing policies and incorporate preferences following where applicable and practical. Brian Jostad led the charge on this, and we're currently purchasing all kinds of chemicals, cleaners, and soaps that meet the guidelines of the sustainable purchasing policy. Now, the requirement there is that we don't spend more money on a product, but if two products are equal and one is greener than the other by a series of indicators that we use, then we go with the greener product, as long as it performs the job. Those are a couple of things that these things have to do. You know, you can't buy something just because it's green, but if it isn't going to do the job that you need done, it isn't going to do any good for anybody. Start a buy local program and maximize use of local product when possible. Over 75% of the foods that we buy from the county are bought from organizations that are within 100 miles of our facilities. And in fact, quite a bit of that is purchased through Jolivet's, especially during the summer, fruits and vegetables. And so we're impacting a local farmer, a local business, but buying products from him, he's hiring local people. And our money that we use throughout the county helps support a local business. And then Jim Becker also started a program of internal reallocation of surplus county property for used office equipment, desk cabinets, tables, chairs, etc. What we can do within our different departments is we can go on this website, and if we're looking for a file cabinet, another department's trying to get rid of one, instead of buying one, we can just pull it from that department, bring it into our own department, and save ourselves some money in purchasing new equipment. Solid waste, of course, my favorite department. We've completed, develop and enhance tools to keep waste within our region. We've accomplished the solid waste evaluation. We're currently working with the ad hoc committee, which includes City of La Crosse and City of Onalaska, and trying to review the solid waste evaluation, see whether there are opportunities to become more sustainable, reduce the amount of waste, increase recycling. And we've also brought Harders into the system through our series of rebates. That has really helped our business, the solid waste department, become more sustainable, and that keeps more of our waste local instead of shipping it up to Eau Claire or other places. Down near the bottom, encourage a carpet recycling program. We didn't have anything to do with this. Pellinger's is now recycling carpeting. There's another company in town called Recycle All They're looking at recycling carpeting too, along with several other problem materials in the that come into the landfill. One of them might even be ag bags. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the giant ag bags that are at most of the farms outside of towns. They're a real problem to get rid of. They cause all kinds of issues with XL Energy. They don't want them because it wraps up their equipment. About all you can do is throw them in a landfill. But there might be an opportunity to recycle these with the local business. And I work with local entities to use recycled asphalt shingles. Our county highway department has put in specs within all the requirements for roads that are going in within the county now. And they're going to start using recycled asphalt shingles on local roads. That helps us, especially this year, since on a normal year we get about 6,000 tons of recycled asphalt shingles. Because of the tornadoes and winds and hail damage that we experienced this year, we got over 13,000 tons. More than double. So the more we can use this, the more we can keep that material out of the landfill. Explore how we might be able to attract a business that will use our waste methane as a gas, our methane gas as a heat resource. Well, I think we found that. Doing pretty good there. And then we also established a community forest on the 88 acres at the landfill. So that's another way that we're going to be more sustainable. We'll sustainably harvest some of the wood that comes off of there, and we'll use that money to help build trails around the landfill. And then one more item I'd like to mention was solid waste. We sent 74,000 tons to the XL Energy plant. Every ton of waste that we send to the plant is equivalent to 1/4 of a ton of coal. So that equates to about 18,500 tons of coal that we did not import into this community because of the waste energy facility. Now, if you figure it, 18,500 tons at about $50 a ton to ship it into this area, that's $925,000 we kept here instead of shipping it out. That makes a big difference in the amount of money that we keep within our own community instead of sending it to Wyoming and the Powder River Basin. And then on the next page, you see a graph there. That's just an indicator of the amount of recycled, converted to energy material and stuff landfilled. We had a 42% diversion rate. That means the material that we pulled out to use for energy, the recycled asphalt shingles, the concrete and asphalt that's recycled, all the wood waste that we recycle, 42% of that material is kept out of the landfill. So we have a pretty good recycling rate in this community. That doesn't even count your cans and bottles out on the curb. Now IT. They're doing some great work. You go down near the bottom, they've got a program called server consolidation. They've reduced 38 servers, and they combine them, and they make virtual servers within a one piece of hardware. I don't know how they do it. To me, it's magic. I hear Harry Potter's involved in this somehow. But between Harry Potter and John Parshall, this is something that they've accomplished out there. And I'd just like to show something that John gave me a copy of the other day. This is a certificate of recognition from Energy Star presented to the County of La Crosse by the United States Environmental Protection Agency in recognition of their commitment to a better environment and reducing greenhouse gas emissions as a participant in the low-carbon IT campaign. Yeah, pretty good deal.
No $108,000 check, though, right?
Yeah, sorry. We're working on it. But there is a couple of things that you'd be interested to hear about. One of the ways that we've tried to track paper, IT, is they can't track actual pages, but what they can track is the click count, the amount of times somebody clicks click their mouse to print a page. And what they've found out is when they're tracking this over the course of the last 3 years, because of their consolidation of printers and consolidation of equipment, they've reduced the click count by 760,600 clicks. Now, that doesn't necessarily equate to all pages, because sometimes it's double-sided pages and stuff. But to give you an indicator of what that means financially, every click counts 0.055 cents. That's 5.5 cents per click. Now, that incorporates all the costs in IT, and a very small part of that, only 0.5 of that, well, 0.005 of that is paper. So the more we can reduce that, the better. That equates to $41,800 in saved save paper and save costs, you know, by reducing the amount of copies that we make. And this, every department can see this in a report that IT hands out. So every department that reduces the amount of paper they're using can see a direct correlation to a reduction in their budget. You know, this is great information for each department to take back and use. And then we've just started a spreadsheet calculation. This is something that I just sent out last week, so we've only gotten one response to it. We're trying to calculate all the savings that we've had over the course of the last 3 years. And like I said, we've only got one response. Of course, John, Mr. Overachiever out there, he sent it back. Of course, he's the only one that really uses the SharePoint like it's supposed to be used, so he tracks his stuff. But he's got a conservative estimate over all the things that they've implemented through IT over the course of the last 3 years. They've saved in the neighborhood of $480,000. $480,000. That's a couple of jobs. And then transportation. Let's see. The health department right now is using two hybrids. They've saved well over $12,000 in transportation costs. Last year, let's see, worked with the LAPC to plan for and fund better connections for alternative transportation throughout the urban area, including pedestrians, bicycles, and electric vehicles. Thanks to you, Complete Streets was passed by the County Board April 19th, just a few days short of Earth Day last year. So thank you for that. And then support the Midwest High-Speed Rail Initiative to bring high-speed rail through La Crosse and connect it to Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, and Chicago. Some of you may know that Minnesota completed their study. They did pick the right route. So it's set to come through La Crosse if we ever get an opportunity to make that happen. And then education. Contribute op-ed pieces to local media illustrating sustainability principles. The Sustainable La Crosse Commission is actually going to be doing this in the near future, so we'll be leading it from there. Explore incorporating sustainability education in local school districts. I don't know how many of you know Summit School is now an environmental school in the La Crosse area, one of the first in the state. Pretty cool initiative there. And educate the public on efforts to reduce burn barrels within the county. This is an effort that was partially funded by the Solid Waste Department, led by the Health and Human Services Department. Did a big educational campaign, went out to a lot of the townships, got education out there to the public in different venues, newspaper articles and such, trying to educate the public about the danger of burn barrels. You know, one burn barrel creates more dioxin than all the dioxin that comes out of the waste energy facility. So it's very important for us to stop people from burning their garbage, disposing of it in the proper manner. And Department of Economic Development, encourage local businesses to adopt sustainable business practices, lead by example in sharing our success. There is a meeting coming up June 5th or June 6th where we're going to try and get LADCO, La Crosse Area Development Corporation, to bring business in to talk about sustainability. So we're trying to help businesses become more sustainable, put more money in their own bottom line, and help them be more competitive. And then Brian Fukuda led a huge effort to submit a HUD grant, Housing and Urban Development Grant, which included four counties, cities, towns, villages, and the request was for over $2.3 million. We didn't get the grant, but because of the submission that we did, the Mississippi Valley Sustainable Consortium is going to meet again in the near future, and they're going to try and keep working together again with this business consortium to try and help businesses with their sustainability efforts. So just a few other areas of success I'd like to point out that aren't in the plan. County Highway is looking at compressed natural gas vehicles and also using glass as a substitute aggregate to replace virgin limestone. This would help us keep our limestone quarries working even longer if we could take glass and use it as an aggregate source. Lakeview is upgrading its lighting and working with Focus on Energy to get rebates to reduce the cost of the installations. That's a successful project. Hillview is incorporating LEED-like standards into its new building, which will keep its energy costs in check over its lifetime. And facilities help put together an office supply exchange for items like notebooks, file folders, three-ring binders, and a myriad of other items that staff need to do their jobs. Again, an opportunity to reduce some of the general costs of just running programs. I'd like to thank you for your support in putting this plan into action and helping to save taxpayer dollars by investing in sustainability. Your foresight has led to these efforts. I'm also looking for input, suggestions, and comments on the report and the plan, so any ideas, feel free to pass them along. What we have in the strategic plan for sustainability is a living document. This is something that needs to continually be updated. 73% of these efforts are either in progress or have been completed. We need more, and we need to keep pushing the envelope to try and become as sustainable as possible, saving more energy, protecting the planet, saving money. So thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see on page 8, for a responsible party, you've got City of La Crosse to determine the full cost of parking, including administration, enforcement, opportunity cost of real estate, and pass those along to users. What are you talking about, downtown or the ramps?
Any of the parking ramps that the City of La Crosse runs. County doesn't have any ramps.
Oh, okay. You're talking about determining the full cost of parking, pass it on to the users, I assume. Is that in consistent with the revitalization plan for downtown La Crosse? I thought they were trying to get more free parking to generate business or something. I don't know how that goes. I'm not on the city council or something, so I don't know if that's in, you know what I mean, working at the same direction as they're working.
I don't know. That one I couldn't answer.
Isn't it part of trying to make driving your own vehicle into town to work and have it sit somewhere all day less attractive to people?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure if you what your question was, Supervisor Geary, why it was in our report.
Right. I mean, it's something for the City of La Crosse to do, but I think the downtown issue, I think, is a little more complicated than what would fall into a sustainability report. If you live, let's say, in West Salem or Holman, you're not going to get on the bus and come into downtown La Crosse. Ask John.
Well, I think part of the idea here also was to understand what that true cost was, because people who come in from Holman, who come in from West Salem and don't take the bus, are using a facility that most of the citizens of the City of La Crosse are paying for. And so where's the benefit to the city when you're talking about somebody coming in from out of town?
Is that it for you, Supervisor Geary? Supervisor Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is at the top of page 3. I'm a little confused when you talk about the lead situation. I thought that was voted down by the county board, and yet you're saying it's in the LEC building, and then you added Hillview, too. What are you really saying there?
We're not going for LEED certification. We're using the checklist from the LEED organization to use as a guideline to try and make our buildings more efficient. We're not going after the certification, which is the major cost of getting that certificate or plaque on the wall. We're not going to do that.
Is it costing us anything to use their data or anything?
No.
Okay, that explains it. So you're just using their outline as to how to do it and doing it on our own.
Yep. In fact, before they went through to build the new Hillview building, we went through the LEED checklist line by line, and we looked at different items that would help us become more sustainable, higher efficiency equipment, you know, those kinds of things.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Wood.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we still needing focus on energy dollars, or is that part of it finished?
No, focus on energy dollars are out there. We're going after them.
Okay. So the fact that they are being reduced, is that going to impact what we can do?
It could. It could. They're going through some reorganization, and hopefully within the next couple of months they'll have everything figured out. Hopefully we'll be able to get back to applying for more focus on energy grants. Right now their main focus is efficiency, which still feeds into our plan and still feeds into some of our efforts. They've kind of reduced what they're funding for renewable energy, like solar panels and wind turbines, those kind of things.
Okay, thank you. And then in terms of the products that we buy, have we gone into using, you know, the basic household products, vinegar, baking soda, hydrogen peroxide, borax, those kinds of things, as opposed to buying manufactured solutions?
Not that I know of, but maybe Brian could answer that. I don't know if, do you know of anything like that, Brian? See, luckily I brought some friends along, just in case the questions got too complex.
Who also wore green for the occasion, I see.
To answer your question, no, we do not. Oh, to answer your question, no, we do not use the what was the borax and
vinegar.
We do not use that as a substitute for cleaners. What our purchasing coordinator Jim Becker does is that he has incorporated the sustainable policy that we have within our purchasing of those items. So what we try to do is reward the vendors to the greatest extent possible that they are sustainable, but the items are also perform as they're supposed to and are cost competitive. We want to reward the right people for doing the right thing.
Thank you.
Supervisor Cotter.
Thank you. Back to Supervisor Geary's question in relation to the parking. The city established a parking utility just over or almost a year ago, year and a half ago. And we are looking at the cost versus the benefit in relation to providing additional parking. So at this stage, it's a huge hornet's nest. Most people don't realize the cost of providing a parking ramp. And it is also, as I say, it's under consideration. And then I had a question in relation to the red arrows. Does that mean that those items are written off, or it's just that they have not been able to be done in 2011?
They have not been able to be done in 2009, 10, or 11.
Okay, but conceivably they can be brought back.
They could be. Now, there are certain goals that were put in to this plan which may not fit the department that they're in. I know that there's at least one in the solid waste department. I think there's one or two in facilities that should be moved to another place. There's also several goals in here that have been moved towards the strategic or the Sustainable Lacrosse Commission for their efforts. Some of these include making policy. It would sit better with the Sustainable Lacrosse Commission than it would with an individual department.
Thank you. That's good, because some of them would be sad to see them if they were just set aside. Thank you.
Supervisor Cruz.
My question concerned the red arrows as well, and it's been answered. I see a lot of those as worthy goals, and I hope we are going to pursue them in the future. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, following up on the red arrows, I have an editorial comment and then two questions. I don't like the phrase cannot be done. Why don't you just put not started or not at this time or something? The phrase that cannot be done seems like, well, we're not going to try. I think it's just too negative, and that's my editorial thought. You know, not started or not at this time, and you have more hope for the future, you know, hope on, big word on hope. My question, though, is, and you can do with it what you want. My question, though, is on this buy local kind of stuff. You mentioned Jolivet's, and it's something that a lot of people are talking about. The federal government's talking about it through USDA. There's a fifth season co-op in out of Westby that just started. They have an association with Reinhardt, actually, to deliver fresh produce to institutions primarily. And I'm just curious, I mean, that's an opportunity for fresh produce in the jails, nursing homes, or whatever. But what's the deal with Jolivet? Do we have a contract with them, or what?
The company that we contract with has a contract with them. So we have I'm not sure, Brian, who that is.
Was this put out for competitive bid?
Okay. It's a competitive bid. And they have a contract, and they look for whoever can supply them that. Those particular items.
Aramark,
yeah. Okay, sorry.
So, I mean, as far, you know, the issue with obviously buying local and getting the institutions is public health, you know, to make sure that the Farmer Jones's eggs and tomatoes are safe, you know, and that's what, that was always the big concern for institutions, you know, to you know, make sure that the food is safe. But there's a lot of people working on that right now, and I don't know if this is something we're going to continue to expand on for our nursing homes, our jail, and other, you know, large entities that may be able to use a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. If there's a possibility for us to expand on that, absolutely. The beauty of buying local is that we're taking our taxpayer funds, which come locally, and we're putting them back into our own economy. And so a farmer who is producing goods within our region, who pays taxes within our region, is hiring people, more people who pay taxes within our region.
Oh, I think it's great. So, and you said this is this does go out to bid from time to time, or?
When you're specifically talking about Jolivet's and Aramark, we have the contract with Aramark. We have encouraged Aramark to purchase locally, which I'd like to think that we had some influence in them going to Jolivet's. But to answer your question, we do not contract with Jolivet's directly. We merely encourage Aramark to purchase directly as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's fine. I just, if you're not aware of this fifth season co-op, it's rapidly growing, and I know they have a direct relationship with Reinhardt's, and that guarantees that the quality and health are taken care of. My final question is on recycling of aluminum. Hank kind of touched on it, but the county itself does not have a recycling center where people can go and redeem cans.
No.
I mean, Alter Company does. I think there's some place in Onalaska. Are we prohibited to do that because of the garbage contract, or is there a reason why we don't do it to allow people to, you know, bring their cans up there and get their 50 cents a pound or whatever it is?
I don't know if there is any restriction on that. Hank, would you have an answer for that?
Is it something we should be doing out at the landfill site?
It's a great moneymaker.
Yeah, if you make 10 cents a pound or something. I mean, it's not very convenient right now for people to recycle their cans. And a lot of people don't want to put it out in the alley. They want to get $5 or $10.
The solid waste department does have a container for aluminum out at the landfill site, so you can bring your cans. We charge you 5 cents a pound.
Well, that's
a lot of citizens have come in and said this isn't fair, and we said we know it isn't, because we got to maintain that area. We have a guy that has to come in that has to empty the container. We give them the name of the recycler that they can drive to directly with their aluminum cans and get money, not pay us, but get money.
Who's that in La Crosse County? Is there Alter, and then there's, I think, the one place in Onalaska. Is there another anymore?
I think you can go to Hilltopper. There's a couple other recyclers. I know the scale attendant has a list of them.
But I know that there's a lot of people that just would like to have the pin money, and they can give it to their church or give it to the Red Raiders or, you know, these bins, but I didn't know if there was something with the contract with the city that prohibited the county from competing with them or something for that.
There isn't anything like that. That whole issue of recycling is something Dan Ferries, with the chairman of the ad hoc committee with the two cities, is struggling with. And it may become a policy question that will come back to the Solid Waste Policy Board with Leon as to what involvement would the county board like to see the county in recycling. Both the City of La Crosse and the City of Onalaska at the last meeting said that they would prefer to see the county involved in that program. So we'll see, but that's a very interesting area.
Yeah, I just don't know why you can't make money given 10 cents less a pound than the going rate or something, and then the county gets the 10 cents, but something to look for.
Is that it for you, Supervisor Redinger? Supervisor Johnson.
I just have a quick question. This only really applies to my district, but do you know why UWL sends their recyclables to Green Bay instead of recycling in the area?
Who collects their recycling?
That's a very good question.
Well, that would determine where that material goes. There are a few haulers that ship their material outside the area. One of them is Waste Management. They have two facilities, one in Minnesota and one in Wisconsin, and they're both several, you know, quite a few miles away. But they consolidate the material at their transfer station, and that's what they do. They put it in a big semi-truck, and they ship it out of town, whereas Hilltoppers has a recycling center in Onalaska.
Would it be possible for them to recycle through the county or not?
We do not run the recycling program. That would be determined by their hauler, and that's an indicator of which hauler would keep the material here or ship it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Billings.
This is a good report. Thank you very much. I haven't noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't noticed work with other counties on this. So, for example, burn barrels, if we, you know, work to educate people in La Crosse County, that's well and good. But if Trempealeau and Monroe have burn barrels, that comes and settles on our farmlands. So have counties come to you with questions about what you're doing? Or, I mean, even for them to see something like this, I think would be great. Do you work with other counties?
There aren't a whole lot of us out there. There's a pretty limited number as far as sustainability coordinators. In fact, I just did a presentation at the Waste Integrated Resource Management Conference last week, trying to get the word out that what we're doing in La Crosse, and these are things that other individuals could do within their own counties to help save money. There has been some outreach. There are a few of us throughout the state that have been in contact with each other, even throughout the Midwest. Minnesota and Iowa have quite a few people doing these kinds of things. We talk to each other, do conference calls every once in a while. But the burn barrel thing is a good example. That's certainly something that we should be able to have, like the Health and Human Services departments share between each other. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I was thinking maybe LATCO is good, but maybe Seven Rivers Region would be a good place to do a presentation too, since you'll have people from Minnesota and the surrounding counties.
We're trying to get businesses throughout the entire region. We're not just thinking about locally. We want to make sure that we reach out throughout the tri-state area.
Any other questions or comments? If not, thank you, Nick, very much for a great report that was just a few years ago a twinkle in somebody's eye.
Yes, it was. So
thank you very much.
And thank you for passing that and for giving me a job.
Okay. Any suggestions for future agenda items? I want to do a quick follow-up on the draft form for committee selection. A question got raised about the count or the number of supervisors in the standing committees. The numbers there are reflect what is in the proposed Chapter 1 ordinance that came out of the restructuring committee and executive committee. So the 65775, which you will note is actually 30, I think, when you add it up. But that those are the numbers that are being recommended, so there would have to be a couple of supervisors who serve on more than one committee, just for clarification. Last call for future agenda items. If not, neither Supervisor Benrud or Sobranek are in the room tonight, so I will call on Supervisor Brockmiller.
I don't have anything cute. I've just been making a motion.
It's been moved by Supervisor Brockmiller to adjourn, seconded by Supervisor Wood. Any discussion? Supervisor Schrader wants to discuss the adjournment motion.
No, I don't. I was just wondering if anyone knew how Jerry Sobranek was doing.
He's doing well. He's at home. He's, I think, benefiting from a couple of new medications and seems to be doing better. Pardon? Oh, he's at home. He's no longer in the hospital was my point on that. No discussion on Moose Lodge at all on that one. A very divergent discussion on move to adjourn. Any other discussion on moving to adjourn or on the motion to adjourn? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned, and Supervisor Ebert is